Welcome to the Southern Environmental Law Center on Atlantic Coast Pipelines conference call. My name is Nicole, and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. I will now turn the call over to Greg Burpert, Senior Attorney of Southern Environmental Law Center. You may begin.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining this call. This is Greg Burpert with the Southern Environmental Law Center. The purpose of today's call is to talk about the Fourth Circuit's decision on Tuesday to vacate an important permit for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. I'm joined on this call by my colleagues Patrick Hunter and Will Cleveland. Also listening in to this discussion are representatives from the three client organizations that SELC represented in the case before the Fourth Circuit. We have Nathan Matthews from the Sierra Club, Jason Rylander from Defenders of Wildlife, and Mark Miller from the Virginia Wilderness Committee. Many of you have been following this closely over the last several days. If you haven't, let me briefly recap what has happened since Tuesday. Tuesday evening, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond vacated and what's called the incidental take statement. It is a permit issued by the Fish and Wildlife Service for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, and that permit allows Dominion to harm threatened and endangered species while it builds this project. That happened on Tuesday evening. Then on Wednesday evening, FERC issued a request to Dominion that said, Dominion, please provide us a map of where endangered species are located, and please confirm your commitment. And I want to begin right at the outset by explaining what is going on, clarifying the meaning of the FERC letter that came out on Tuesday. So this letter from FERC is a process letter. What happened is on Tuesday, the court issued its order. Tuesday evening, the FERC that this order had been lodged at the Court of Appeals. And then the next day, Dominion called FERC and said, we want to keep building this pipeline and we'll just avoid where endangered species are. FERC responded as it should by saying, put that in writing. Write that down and send us more information. What FERC has not done is accept Dominion's proposal. Right now that this pipeline can go forward by avoiding areas where threatened and endangered species are. And we think, and there's a compelling legal argument, that all construction for this project needs to stop. What Dominion is doing, let me explain some of Dominion's statements in the press. Dominion has said over the last several days that it will continue to push forward with this project. It intends to keep constructing this project. The purpose behind those statements is for the company to assure its investors that everything's okay with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. But that's a rose-colored view, frankly. FERC, as I just said, FERC hasn't decided what it will do. And as we'll get into some more details of the FERC certificate, but also of two other permits affected by the court's decision. Permits issued by the U.S. Forest Service and the Army Corps of Engineers. To provide some additional details and go a little deeper on why the decision from the Court of Appeals affects the FERC certificate, the Forest Service permit, and the permit from the Corps of Engineers that would allow the pipeline to cross streams and wetlands, I'm going to turn the discussion over to my colleague, Patrick Hunter.
Thanks, Greg. This is Patrick Hunter. I'm a staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. I actually want to start with just a quick update or just to make sure we're all on the same page with where things are with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and construction. As of the middle of March in Virginia and the beginning of April in West Virginia, there is no tree felling going on in either of those states due to concerns about killing migratory birds. So this was a requirement of their permit. There is currently no construction, no right-of-way construction happening in Virginia. Atlantic has requested permission to begin with some limited construction activities in North Carolina, though to my knowledge that has not been granted yet. And Atlantic has begun with some pretty limited construction activities in West Virginia. Now, to get to the sort of heart of the interplay between these different permits, but the face of the permit from the Forest Service, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the FERC certificate all require that this permit from the Fish and Wildlife Service be in place in order for any construction activities to commence. So why is that the case? It's important to remember that this is a linear construction project, and the approvals from the Forest Service, from the Army Corps, and from FERC all assume that the project is going to be built along the construction right-of-way that has been analyzed in the environmental analysis documents that have been completed as part of this project. As of Tuesday, the Atlantic no longer has authority to continue with the project as it was initially designed, because that project was going to impact, is going to kill endangered species and also impact their habitat, and that was necessary for the pipeline route that they chose. And as of now, they cannot do those activities. So they currently do not have permission to move forward with their proposed pipeline route. So what this means is that that route is in question, and it's unclear what the court and what the court is going to require and how Fish and Wildlife will respond to that. It's entirely possible that the route could be modified in some way as a result of the Fish and Wildlife Service's further analysis. And if that's the case, then construction of the pipeline shouldn't be continuing, not knowing if they're going to be able to move forward with this current pipeline right-of-way route. And so that is the interplay between all of these permits. So for the Forest Service, for the Army Corps, and for FERC to give the green light to Atlantic, it has to know that it can impact this endangered species habitat. And as of now, it does not have authority to do that. So this pipeline route currently is in question, and that's why construction cannot continue without that authority without that permission from the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Patrick, thank you. We've and to put a point on what Patrick has just said, we've communicated that information to FERC. We did so right after the court's decision on Tuesday, and we plan to continue to communicate with FERC through the official FERC docket, through the formal communication mechanism at FERC about these issues, as FERC is deciding, as FERC and these other agencies are deciding what to do about their permits. One thing that's come to light over the last several years, and it is an important point, I think, to make at this moment for this project, is that the light shining on questions about market demand, the cost to utility customers, and Dominion's unfounded arguments for job creation, that light is getting brighter. And we've been doing, the Southern Environmental Law Center has been working at the State Corporation Commission in Virginia. Working at the State Corporation Commission here in Virginia, as well as at the Public Utilities Commission in North Carolina, to really get at these issues related to cost to consumers, cost to utility customers, market demand, and job creation. And to discuss those issues in more detail, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Will Cleveland.
Thanks, Greg. This is Will Cleveland. I'm a staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. I'm based in Charlottesville, Virginia. We've been doing a lot of work on the Atlantic Coast Pipeline in a lot of different fora. My work has been focused on the ratepayer impacts through the Virginia State Corporation Commission. And the State Corporation Commission comes into play because of the way that Dominion and Duke have structured their deal to shift all risk of the pipeline development project from their shareholders onto their utility customers. And everything I'm going to say is something that we laid out in a letter to the Governor Northam in Virginia, his administration, earlier this week. So Dominion and Duke are both holding companies, and in Virginia, the Dominion Energy Holding Company wholly owns the regulated utility, Virginia Electric Power. It also is a co-venture in Atlantic Coast Pipeline, LLC. When Atlantic Coast Pipeline wanted to get permission from FERC to exercise eminent domain, take people's property, and build the pipeline, they had to demonstrate to FERC that there was a market need for that pipeline. What they did, instead of actually going out and doing a market survey and figuring out what people who needed gas would do, is they actually just signed contracts with their affiliated entities, specifically their affiliated regulated utilities, who have captive customers. They then took those contracts basically with themselves to FERC and said, here is our evidence that there's an actual market for the pipeline. And FERC has so far accepted the contracts among these utilities as evidence of need, and that is the basis for which they issued the certificate. But the State Corporation Commission of Virginia plays a critical role here because that is the mechanism by which the regulated utility shifts all of its costs onto its customers through an annual proceeding called the fuel factor. And we have done a lot of litigation at the State Corporation Commission and have had opportunity to engage in some discovery. And through that discovery process, we've learned some very compelling facts. First is that Dominion, the regulated utility, has signed a multi-year, multi-billion dollar contract with its affiliated Atlantic Coast Pipeline entity, even though Dominion admits it has never actually done a study of whether it needs the Atlantic Coast Pipeline to operate its power plants. We have further gotten concessions and admissions from the regulated utility here in Virginia that they pass on the cost of those pipeline contracts to their customers regardless of how much they actually use those pipeline contracts. And moreover, through discovery, we have determined, and we've submitted expert testimony on this, that the pipeline contract that Dominion has signed on the Atlantic Coast Pipeline will actually increase customer costs by about $2 billion. And that $2 billion is relevant because all along, Dominion has claimed that the Atlantic Coast Pipeline would save their customers money and that those customers would then reinvest the money that they've saved, which would produce new jobs and economic growth throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia. If there are no savings, there is no job growth and there is no economic growth. Well, our analysis shows that there are no savings. It's actually a net cost to customers. So what you're left with, in Virginia at least, is a regulated utility using its captive customers to bear all the risk of a multi-billion dollar boondoggle that the utility has never studied whether it needs it, and the utility is going to make customers pay for it regardless of whether they ever use it.
Will, thank you. We are ready to open it up for questions.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Jim Day with the Energy Daily. Your line is open.
Hi, folks. Thanks for doing this call. I've been following this pretty closely, and I got several questions. Just the first one. So depending on what FERC does, whether it allows Dominion to go ahead with construction, can you say what your options are through the Fourth Circuit?
Well, Jim, let me say this. We are confident that FERC is going to reach the conclusion that we've reached based on the law and its own certificate that construction can't go forward. That's the conclusion we think FERC should reach. If that doesn't happen, then we are, of course, evaluating the other options that are available to us.
And does that go through the Fourth Circuit, or is that just a does FERC just have, you know, the ability to make that decision without it falling to review?
Well, there are several avenues available, and without getting into the specifics of any particular one, both FERC and the Fourth Circuit are forums where these issues are being considered right now.
Okay, thanks. Can I squeeze in one other question before other people jump in, please?
Sure.
So where does it stand with the State Corporation Commission right now? Have they approved these contracts yet? And can you sort of, because I haven't followed this angle of it very closely, can you kind of tell me where it stands and where it's going?
Sure.
This is Will Cleveland.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, Greg. This is Will Cleveland. The State Corporation Commission in Virginia has not expressly reviewed the contracts between the regulated utility and its pipeline developing affiliate. What the State Corporation Commission has expressly said is that if and when actual costs for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline contract are presented to the commission, they reserve the full right to disallow the utility to pass those costs on to customers. That being said, the commission has also said they're not going to deal with that until after the pipeline is built. So what we are left with, at least as far as the commission goes, is there will be pipe in the ground before they ever take the issue up.
Yeah, this is Nathan Matthews of the Sierra Club. You know, we also have a case pending before the Virginia Supreme Court on the State Corporation Commission issue. I believe it's scheduled to be argued in June, although I don't have the exact date in front of me. My colleague Andres Restrepo is our lead on that, and he's unfortunately not on this call this morning. But this is an issue that, as we mentioned, that has been litigated, and we'll be happy to follow up on with questions on that if there's things that we can't answer on the call today.
Okay. Thanks, Nathan. I know you and I talked about that the other day, so I'll follow up on that separately. Thanks.
And our next question comes from Maya Weber with S&P Global. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. Jim took my first question, but maybe I'll ask a follow-up on that. Just as far as what you are reading into the FERC letter, it sounds like you're viewing it as FERC not yet taking any position. And when I looked at that, it looked to me like FERC seemed to be going along with the general approach that Atlantic Coast was taking and kind of delineating areas where work could go forward. I'm wondering if you could say a little more about why you think that FERC has not yet kind of shown its hand on this.
Yeah, I can. Maya, thank you for that question. This is Greg Buppert again. So there are, I think, two things to think about here. The first is this letter, in our view, is a process letter. FERC is documenting and asking Dominion to document communication that happened over the telephone following the FERC, the court's order. Secondly, and FERC, I think quite clearly, FERC has not made a decision to allow or even endorse any particular approach. We don't know exactly what's happening inside FERC, but I believe that the commission is taking seriously the court's order in evaluating the way forward, and that decision hasn't been made. Secondly, the FERC certificate itself says it's conditioned on receipt of all required federal approvals. And so now that this permit from the Fish and Wildlife Service has been vacated, that condition isn't met. There's at least one other condition in the FERC certificate that hasn't been met. Additionally, I think the final point to make here is the Endangered Species Act includes when species are taken, that is, when species are harmed without a valid take permit from the Fish and Wildlife Service, there's the risk of civil and criminal liability, not just for the developer, not just for Dominion, but also for the federal agency involved. That also gives us assurance that that this process at FERC is not complete yet, based on that letter.
Our next question comes from Sarah Rangan with the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this. I was just curious if you all have any sense of how quickly the Fourth Circuit might issue the full opinion that it promised in that brief order, and I'm curious whether you expect that might shed any more clarity on the situation, or if we're basically just looking to FERC at this point.
Sarah, thank you. I'll turn that over to my colleague Patrick Hunter to talk about the possible timing of a decision from the Fourth Circuit and we can't speculate about what that opinion might include, but it will be instructive for the Fish and Wildlife Service to get the court's opinion.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. This is Patrick Hunter again at the Southern Environmental Law Center. I don't think we have an expectation about when we will hear from the court again. I don't have a lot to say about that. I do expect that the court's opinion should shed some more light on, what will be needed to fix this problem. And so, moving forward at this point without that clarity sort of dangerously commits them to this pipeline route without knowing what they're going to have to do to fix this problem. So, for instance, the Fish and Wildlife Service's original authorization to allow this to move forward was going to allow impacts to about 4,500 acres of Indiana bat habitat and to individual bats. We don't know if that's going to be authorized under the next version of this or what that will look like. So I'm sure Fish and Wildlife Dominion, as well as us, will be looking to that opinion for some clarity about how this problem can be fixed, if at all.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. We are standing by for questions. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. We have a follow-up question from Maya Weber from Assembly Global. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. Follow-up question. In following FERC on a lot of pipeline cases, we see that the agency issues notices to proceed with construction in some cases when the Clean Water Act permits are still pending in other areas or in another state. So how is this different from that in terms of what we could expect FERC to do? Why would it not be able to take a piecemeal approach here where it has in other cases that have involved Clean Water Act permits?
Maya, thank you for your question. I think in this case, this incidental take permit from the Fish and Wildlife Service, as Patrick described, is a condition not only of the FERC certificate, but of also of the U.S. Forest Service permit and the Army Corps of Engineers permit. Under the terms of those permits, construction can't go forward without a valid biological opinion and valid incidental take permit. The court has vacated the incidental take permit. I think it's a very straightforward argument for these agencies that construction shouldn't proceed anywhere along the route. The FERC certificate clearly covers the whole route, as does the Nationwide Permit 12 that's been issued by the Corps of Engineers. And so, in our view, there's not a legally sound way to piecemeal this decision and construct in some places and not others.
Our next question comes from Robert Zulo from Richard Thompson. Your line is open.
Hi. My question was along the same lines, but I was asking, does this mean, and I think the answer that you guys look at me is yes, but does this mean that all the other, you know, that specifically the nationwide permit with the State Water Board comment period, you know, ending later this month, does that mean that Atlantic Coast Pipeline does not have a valid nationwide Permit 12 coverage at this point because that opinion, because the incidental take statement has been vacated?
Robert, this is Greg Buppert. The nationwide Permit 12 is conditioned on a valid incidental take statement, and you're right, the court's vacated that, so that construction under that nationwide Permit 12 from the Corps of Engineers can't go forward. And that's an issue, frankly, that the State Water Control Board in Virginia, which is considering the adequacy, is right now evaluating the adequacy of nationwide Permit 12, needs to take seriously as it considers whether or not to go forward with its own review of stream and wetland crossings.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. We have a question from Jim Day from the Energy Daily. Your line is open.
Hi, I just wanted to follow up on that last question to clarify. So the Virginia Water Board is reexamining the nationwide permit 12. Am I right to understand that the same NWP 12 for West Virginia and North Carolina, in your view, is also not valid, or is there some distinction between them?
They are technically different permits. They were issued by different districts of the Corps of Engineers, but they're all nationwide 12 permits, and they all are conditioned on compliance with the Endangered Species Act. So that issue applies across the route in West Virginia, Virginia, and North Carolina.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up for me.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. I am showing no further questions at this time.
Everyone, thanks for getting on the phone, and thank you for paying attention to this important issue. If you have follow-up questions, please call Claudine McWane at the Southern Environmental Law Center, and we'll do our best to try to answer those.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.